time for that. Ephesians chapter 6. Today, we are finishing up, if you will, a long weekend of celebrating our independence as a country. 4th of July is a special time for us. It's not just about cookouts and all those good things, which we all kind of enjoy that. But it's also about celebrating our independence, that our forefathers in the beginning of this young country, and when you think about it, guys, when you back up and look at the big picture, the United States of America, we're kind of the baby in the room, so to speak, when you start to look at other countries and everything as far as our timeline and age. But there's no doubt that God has blessed this country. And I hope that you've taken time this weekend and to take some time to just thank God for the blessings of this country. But it didn't come easy. Our forefathers laid a lot on the line, and there were many battles that were fought in order for us to win our independence. I was just, I'll say this because I know he'll see it. Brother Mark always watches our services online. And so I texted him the other day. I said, well, we in America are all celebrating here. I guess for you Brits, y'all are just going back to work just another day, right? 4th of July is kind of special for us. But anyway, we kind of pick about that. But when I think about the great battles across the landscape of time with mankind, there have always been decisive battles. There have been wars, major war campaigns and all those different things, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, we're ongoing now, and many other conflicts and things around. But within those wars, sometimes you just see a decisive battle that happens. And historians will tell us, people who study the military will tell us, that sometimes it was the smallest thing that made the greatest difference. That it weren't for that one thing, that one item, it would have never turned out the way it did. I'll tell you a story about a very similar situation to that very thing. In 1066, one of the most decisive battles in the history of the world was fought. You may not be familiar with it, but William, the Duke of Normandy, dared to invade England. It was at that time that England was the greatest force, the greatest military force on the planet. No one threatened England. No one could stand up against England. When England came against them, they just pretty much bowed down and let them have their way. So no one raised their head up, if you will, against England at that time. But here William decided that he was not only going to face England, but he was going to take it to them. He was going to take the battle to them. He was going to hit them, if you will, in their own backyard. And no one would do that. Everyone thought it was the greatest, most foolish, but that he was coming against the most formidable enemy that he could ever face, and there was no way that he could win. The odds of him being victorious were just astronomically against him. But see, what the world didn't know is this, is that William had a plan. There was something new that had just been invented, and William realized, if I could implement this into my battle strategy, if I could take this and apply it to my armies, then everything would change. And the invention was simply this. It was that of the stirrup. See, at that moment, at that time in history, horses were part of battlefields and all those different things, but simply all they did was the soldiers would get on them, use them as transportation to get to the battlefield, and then they'd get off of them. Because no man could fight on the back of a horse. It was just too unstable of a platform. It was just, all he could use the horse was for to get from one place to the other. Once he got there, he had to get off the horse, and then they would form lines and all these different things. But William said, hey, look, with this new invention of this little thing called the stirrup, if we can get stable on these animals, then we don't have to get off of them when we get to the battlefield. We can fight from the top of them. We can be stable. We can take our swords. We can take our bows and arrows. We can take our spears. We can take all of our weaponry and use them from a higher elevation, and we can do battle on the backs of these horses, because now we've got something to stand on, something that is stable. Exactly what he thought would happen. When he did, he put this into implication, and he became William the Conqueror in that moment. Because he knew that for his soldiers to go into battle, they would need something strong to stand on, something stable that they could fight from. And because of that, he defeated England and became one of the greatest conquerors in all of military history. Well, the reality of it, when I think about that story, is this, is that many of us today are fighting battles. Many of you today, many of us right here in this room, we're fighting battles. And it may not be a military sense that we are going to a battlefield or something like William and his forces did, but the battle is still the same. See, in our homes today, we're battling all sorts of things, aren't we? Now, if we came to pretend like everything's not what it is, then we don't need to. We need to have church, and that means we need to be real, right? And the reality of it is, in many of our families, we're fighting substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, all sorts of things are destroying our marriages, our homes, our children. We're struggling. We got a battle going on the home front. In some of our homes, we have a battle of divorce that's going on. It's destroying relationships between husbands and wives, and their children are seeing that, and they're being destroyed. It's just like it's being handed down. And so there's a battle that's going on. There's a battle that goes on with men hiding. One of the things that we're going to be talking about very soon, I'll just go ahead and tell you guys. I'm not going to tell you what Sunday I'm going to talk on it, so you won't stay home. But one of the struggles that we're dealing with in this country right now, we have an epidemic of pornography. And can I tell you something? When I say guys, women are increasing, they're increasing in their addiction to pornography faster than men at this point in time. We got to address that. We got to talk about it. It's serious. It's destroying so many different aspects of our society. We got battles that are going on. We got battles that are going on at home. We got battles that are going on at work. Some of you are in conflict right now. The thing that you hate about Sunday is that Monday you got to go to work. And I've been there. I've been that guy that had to go to work offshore on Wednesday, and I started getting down about it on Sunday. And I tell you right now, for an adult, there's no worse thing just about than hating where you work and who you work with, because you spend more time there than you do with your family. So some of you are really battling maybe with where you work or who you work with or what you're doing for a living. You're battling in it. Some of you are battling against society. I mean, you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to live right, but society is coming to get you. There's a battle going on. The reason why I say all these things is that there's battles that are going on in our lives, guys. But I want you to know something. That Jesus Christ did not go to the cross to defeat our sin that you and I might live in defeated lives. He went to the cross. He chose the cross so that we could live victorious lives. But we have to understand how we do that. You see, the reality is every day, if you're a child of God, every day we step onto a spiritual battlefield and we need to be ready. We're called to be soldiers to fight each and every day. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. I've never been in the military. Many of our veterans here this morning, I just so love our vets. I really do. And I think even as much as highly as I esteem their sacrifice, I think the sacrifices of their families are even greater sometimes. And the reason why I say that is this, is that many of our veterans, when they go into battle, they have to kind of switch a gear. And they just have to focus on what they're doing right there. But their families are back home. They're shuffling all the deck. They're trying to keep all the plates spinning and all those different things. And that doesn't mean that it's easier or harder for one or the other. It's just different. But the reality of it is this, is what Paul's telling Timothy right here is this. If you're going to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, you can't entangle yourself with everything in the world. You got to stay focused on what God has called you to do and how he's called you to do it. And guys, that little song we used to sing as kids, I'm in the Lord's army, the truth still reigns in that. Amen? Man, we're supposed to be battling. So one of my prayers has been for our children here at this church that God would raise up mighty warriors for Christ through our children. I pray when I see children getting saved, when I see 8 and 9 and 10-year-old boys and girls coming to Christ, this is what I pray. God, make this boy, make this young girl a mighty warrior for your kingdom. Make them such a prayer warrior that the enemy recognizes what you're going to do in their heart and their life. Man, I want to see mighty warriors be raised for the kingdom of Christ. We need to be doing that. Why? Because we're stepping on a battlefield each and every day. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. And get some strength and some directions of how we step onto this battlefield, guys, and how we fight the good fight. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. The first thing I want you to see here, guys, just some things that we need to pull out of this text this morning, some things that we need to realize and understand. In verse 10, he says, fighting requires strength. Fighting requires strength. How many of us can testify that we've been tired in the fight? Amen? I mean, we've been battling. Man, we've been praying for that lost child, that prodigal son or daughter or grandchild. We've been praying for them, and we've been battling, but we're getting tired. You know, the reason why we get tired in the battle is because so many times we go into battle in our own strength and might. We're never called to do that. The Scripture says we're to go in His strength and in His might. Some scriptures that remind us, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 33. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. Psalms 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. We need to be strong, man. If we're going to step into a battlefield, guys, we got to be strong. But the reality is, when we recognize our weakness and trust in His strength and might, then we become truly supernaturally strong. See, the reality of it is this. In our flesh, we are weak. But in His Spirit, in His strength, in His might, we are greatly to be feared. So we need to understand that when we fight in His strength. We serve a mighty and a powerful God, guys. Why in the world would I step into a spiritual battle absent from the very one who should empower me to fight that fight? So if you're in a battle right now, the first question I would ask you is this: how's your relationship with God right now? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time in worship? Are you spending time in service? Are you drawing near Him? Because if not, you're out there battling and you're on your own, and you'll get tired. You may not be tired now, but I guarantee you this, it's coming. So if we're going to battle, and we're going to consistently battle, if we're going to strive to do that, we need to do it in His strength and His might. God, remove the barriers that are keeping your strength and might from being poured into our lives, into our hearts, into our families, into our marriages. All these different things. Verse 11. Verse 11 tells us to put on the full armor of God that we might be able to stand firm. Now, any of us can think about the armor, the suit of armor that a warrior would wear. And it's easy for us to visualize that. Paul understood that when he was writing this letter. He understood that we could get a mental image here, this suit of armor, if you will. Part of the trouble today is that when we battle in our own strength and in our own power, it defeats us. And for many reasons, many good Christians are living defeated lives today. The world is telling us when that happens, well, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's okay. I know you're battling with this sin, but it's okay. That's just naturally who you are. You just need to be who you are, and God loves you the way you are, and all those different things. So you just need to go ahead and go with the flow of it. The world tells us, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't fight against it. Stop resisting this, and just be who you are in your flesh. But the Word of God says that we've been born again. We've been transformed. We've got a new DNA. When I was at our former church, there was a lady there that just looked at me. And this woman had the spiritual gift of just spouting off at the mouth. Amen? Anybody got that gift? And this is what she would tell me. For years, she told me this, and it always bothered me. Well, now, Brother Webb, you know, that's just who I am. I've always been outspoken. And I remember the last time she told me that, just before we left. She told me that, and I said, you know what? That may have been who you used to be, but as a child of God, that shouldn't be who you are now. You're just using that as an excuse, is what was happening. She was just using that as an excuse. Well, I've always been like this. Well, there's something wrong with that. There's some things I always was too before I got saved. And that don't mean I'm perfect in any way, but what I do realize is this: Jesus did some transforming in me. because that's not who I am anymore. We need to understand who we are, and we need to battle that strength. Don't listen to what the world has to say. We need to understand what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God says that we can be overcomers. We can be victorious, guys. But if we just give in, then we're letting the enemy win. Oh, but I'm saved. But yeah, but are you joyous in your salvation? David said in his sin, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Don't you know, man, haven't you experienced that sin can rob you of your joy of your salvation with the Lord? It can. And yeah, you're still saved, you're still a child of God, but you're so miserable in it. Shouldn't be that way, guys. He says, put on the full armor of God. Often we see this, guys, I'll just be honest with you, and I'll just confess this. I remember times when I preached this way, that when we see this text, and he says it plainly, put on, in verse 11, put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then we start looking in just a moment at those pieces of the armor, right? And in our mind we think, okay, God has for us, it's like he says, okay, Webb, I got you a suit of armor over here. I want you to come put this helmet on and this breastplate and all those different things. And in our mindset we think God has a suit of armor that he wants to offer to us. That's how we kind of read that verse. But if we dig a little deeper into the original text and how it was written, we understand something very valuable. It's not saying that God possesses a suit that he wants to give us. What it's actually saying is this. In verse 11, put on the full armor which is God. In other words, God is the armor. God's not trying to say, I have something to give you. What he's saying is, He personally is the armor. How do we put on God? By submitting our lives daily to Him, by walking in submission to Him, by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. He's saying He is the armor, guys. That makes everything different. It's not to say that He has a possession that He's offering to us. He's offering Himself to us. He is the armor. What an amazing thing. We put on God. We're His child. We're clothed in Him. We're wrapped up in Him. When we place ourselves totally in His care, totally submitted to His will, then we can stand against the schemes and the attacks of Satan. In other words, we got to get our battle gear on, and we need to do it daily by surrendering our life to His will and to Him. Then we can stand firm. Man, the reason why we're battling, the reason why we're weary, and the reason why we're tired, and many times the reason why we're losing is because we're doing it on our own. We need to be in Christ, walking by His power and His strength. See, the reality of it is this, is that we need to be standing on firm ground. When He says stand firm, you see that over and over in this text. We need to be standing firm. And the best way that you and I can battle in a good foundation, in a good strong foundation, being a good soldier, is that we're in Christ, daily submitting and walking to Him. The good soldier fights better when his feet are planted on solid ground. That's not just stirrups on the back of a horse, but that's the Christian who's submitting their lives to the Lord Jesus each and every day. Verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world of forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need to remember who we are fighting. It's not flesh and blood, guys. We don't battle against flesh and blood. Now, we need to understand what that means, because so many times when the enemy is attacking us, he uses flesh and blood, doesn't he? You know that person that drives you crazy? Can bring out you'll sprout horns and a forked pigtail and all kinds. I mean, you can be like Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. That person that does that, I mean, you're looking and saying, well, that looks like flesh and blood to me. That boss that just aggravates the fire out of you at work. All those people, somebody that just ridicules you and laughs at you because of your faith or whatever that situation might be, that person who's being an evil influence over your child or grandchild, it's hard to love them with the love of Jesus, isn't it? Oh, I know the Sunday school, they say, well, bless their heart, we're just going to pray for them. Let me tell you something, it's hard for me to pray for some folks. Amen? I know y'all not like that because y'all super spiritual, but me, I'm struggle sometimes. I know I'm supposed to pray for them, but I'm telling you right now, I love Jesus, I love them in your name, but I'm really finding it hard to like them right now. All right, they said something about me, about my wife, about my kid or grandkid, And I'm just praying everybody don't get in the flesh right quick, you know. I remember there was some number of years ago here in the area, there was a brother that got saved and was going to get baptized in one of our local churches around here. And he was a rather large African-American brother. And a little old man in the church came up to the preacher and said, "I don't know if we need to baptize him in our church or not." He said, "Well, there he is. You go tell him." I mean, this brother was like 6'7", 300 plus pounds. And he didn't want to go talk to him because he might not be quite so full of Jesus. And, you know, he might like to lay hands on him in a non-Christian type way. But the reality is, what I'm trying to tell you is this, guys. The Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood. That person that you're struggling with, that person that's pushing your buttons and making you pull against your faith and do things and think things that really aren't Christ glorifying, man, we have spiritual wickedness that's floating around us all the time. And it's amazing to me that a lot of people say, "Preacher, I can't believe you believe in all that demonic activity." Well, you believe in angels. If you believe in angels, you ought to believe what the Bible says about demonic activity as well. And we need to understand that what the Scripture is saying right here is that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we recognize that Satan and his demonic forces can use a human agent just like our God uses a human agent as well. See, we pray for our pastor. Brother Allen, just pray for me before I came up here. Why? Because God, we want you to use a human agent to speak to our hearts today. When you go and witness to someone, you're being a human agent for the kingdom of God, right? And so God is using, he chooses to use a human agent for his kingdom work. Well, the enemy can do the same thing. So we need to recognize the role that human agent is playing, but ultimately, we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And there is a real battle that is going on, friends. It's a real battle. We need to understand that. I remember when the liquor stores were called package stores and spirits. Remember when they used to call it spirits? I think we ought to go back to that. That's what it is. Amen? Y'all act like y'all ain't never been to a liquor store. But the reality of it is this. That's what we used to call it, see? But we've sanitized that. We've changed that, all those different names and everything, see? But the reality is there is a real battle that is going on. And if we're going to battle in the name of the Lord Jesus, if we're going to step onto that spiritual battlefield and fight for His glory and for His kingdom, guys, it's a real fight. And you can expect it. And in any real fight, there are wounded warriors. There are those who die on the battlefields. There are those who suffer for the cause. I want you to know something, guys. You may have never served in military service. And sometimes I think one of the greatest struggles that our military faces, because we have so much insanity in the world of politics in this country, is, are we fighting for a just cause? Our freedom's worth fighting for. I guarantee you that. We need to teach our kids and grandkids the freedoms we have in this country, guys. They are worth fighting for. They always have been and they always will be. And if you don't believe that, then all you need to do is go somewhere else and see what people live like who don't have those freedoms. They'll tell you in a heartbeat. Why are people willing to die to get into this country? Doesn't matter what you think about the immigration problem that we have. The reality is this. People are dying, risking their lives to get into this country. Why? Because this is an institution on the face of this planet that says freedom and liberty means everything. There's promise there. There's hope there. If you can get there, if you can be accepted here, then you'll have everything that this world has to offer you. At least you got a shot at it. But there are so many places around the world that don't have that. They don't have that. The greatest experiment of democracy is this country. And anybody can back up and say, God has had his hand on this country, guys. God has had his hand on this country. But it always came at a cost. There are battlefields scattered all over this country where blood was shed for the things that we take for granted. We need to teach the other generations that are coming behind us, our children and our grandchildren, what that means. We really do. Because what we take for granted, we'll quickly lose. We'll quickly lose. So there's a spiritual battlefield that's going on. And again, we need to realize we fight in a spiritual realm. Verse 13, take up that armor and stand firm. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything. Having done everything to stand firm. We need to take up the full armor, not part of it, not suggesting none of those. To take it up means to apply it. In other words, I'm going to apply God's truths and values, principles and attributes to my life. What good would it be to have the greatest protection, the greatest power, and the greatest strength, but to never use it? I think about our law enforcement officers. In our first church, there was a man there that worked in a law enforcement agency. It was the first time as a pastor I had someone who served in law enforcement. And I remember I was talking to him one day at church, and he had this car. I can't remember what name it was, but the thing sat like that. I mean, I was like, "Brother, you need to get some shocks on that thing." And he started laughing. He said, "No, Brother Webb, that's not it." He said, "Come out here and let me show you my work car." And we went out, and he opened up the trunk of that car. And what that brother takes to work every day was enough armament to go into battle with. And it kind of showed me. He said, "You know what? When this brother goes to work every day, he doesn't know what he's going to encounter. But what he has in this trunk right here, because his vehicle was sitting like that, is what he needs to do his job." Could you imagine that same law enforcement officer having Kevlar vest, bulletproof this, and shields and helmets and all those different things? All those things. Could you imagine him showing up on the scene of some very high tense, very dangerous situation, and he'd left all that stuff in the car? Could you imagine what his coworkers, "Man, what are you doing? Where's your gun? Where's your vest? Where's your helmet? Where's your stuff? Don't you have some stuff to protect you and take care of you? Don't you have something to fight back with?" "Yeah, I got it, but I left it over in the car." Would you want that guy on your team? See, the reality of it is this: as Christians, many times we have access to the greatest power, might, and strength in Almighty God. But you know what? We're leaving him at the house. We're leaving him at the house. We're not thinking about God when we wake up on Monday and through Friday or Saturday and walking out the door and headed into the workplace, kids into our schools or whatever like that. We're leaving God at home. We're leaving him there. Maybe we can find our Bible come next Sunday when we're getting ready to go to church. "Honey, you see my Bible?" I always laugh whenever I find somebody's Bible in church after Sunday. We used to have this little thing in it. We would run copies of it and stick it in people's Bible and give it back to them and said that, you know, when you leave your Bible, we're going to circle and highlight all the strange verses so that when you die, your kids will wonder, what were they thinking? But we stopped doing that. Anyway, but when I say, "Hey, man, I found your Bible at church." "Oh, preacher, I got another one I read at home." That's what I always hear. "I got another one I read at home." But can I just be honest, guys? If we're going to step into battle, man, we need to spend some time with God, our commander-in-chief. We need to step into that realm, taking up the full armor. And when it says stand firm, what does that mean? It means to be planted. It means to be committed, dedicated to the cause. It means that every day, our mindset, no matter what we're wrapped up in, our mindset is wrapped up in kingdom work. See, when we think about kingdom work all the time, guys, that person that we pass in Walmart or the grocery store, that person we see on the road or whatever, here's what, we don't just see somebody, we wonder, do they know Jesus? Anybody ever shared the gospel with them? Are they hurting? What's going on in their world that maybe I can just be a human agent that steps in and does a spiritual work in their life? And we know God does all the work. We're just the agent that he uses. Take up the full armor and stand firm. The great and powerful armor of God protects us in battle. And the Word of God is the anchor of it all. Yet so many times we don't spend any time in the Word. An army needs to stand firm. They need to have that edge as they go into battle. William knew something about his army that no one else knew. They had an edge up. Can I tell you something, guys? You and I, when we battle, we have power and strength that this world cannot understand, doesn't know about. We have the gospel. And because we have the gospel, we have the greatest message this world needs to hear, that God's Son came to this world, the world that he created. Man, we're going to teach some kids about Jesus this week. We have two things we try to achieve in Bible school, basically. Number one, kids have fun. But number two, the main thing is they learn about Jesus. And number three is nobody goes to the emergency room, if you want to know what number three is. But we're going to teach them about Jesus. But see, Jesus created everything, the stars, the glories, everything, this earth, everything in it. But yet he came in human form to be born into the form of a man, to live a sinless life, to die a sinner's death, to be raised on the third day. and to turn around and offer somebody like me eternal life if I simply believe and trust in that? That's a great message, guys. That's a great message, and the world needs to hear it. But there's a real enemy that does not want that message proclaimed. And he takes us to battle, and he distracts us. And let me tell you some of the things he distracts us with. All kinds of good stuff. Sometimes it's church stuff. It's amazing to me how churches can be so busy and active, and yet we're not sharing the gospel with anybody. My 96-year-old grandmother looking at the meteor 8 years ago, I was sitting there looking at her. She's looking at the meteor. She says, "Oh, I'm looking here at the Newsline news report." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Y'all sure are busy." I said, "Yes, ma'am, we are." She said, "Are you doing any good?" I said, I don't know. I don't know if we're doing any good or not. We are busy. See, guys, activity should not be a substitute for effective kingdom work. Verses 14 and 17, we look at this real quick. Standing firm in the elements of war. How do we stand firm? How do we strengthen ourselves? And then he gives us this illustration, if you will, of the armor of God. He gives us the belt of truth. John 8, verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus defined himself as truth. We battle in truth. There's the world that's telling us this, is that this is no longer true. This is a book made of fables that has tricked and deceived men for generations. But truth is what you make it to be. Truth is what satisfies you and meets you where you are. Truth is all relative to your situation. Guys, the Bible says that Jesus is truth. And so we battle with the belt of truth wrapped around us. Righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Righteousness is produced in our lives when we live in obedience to God's word and will. When you wake up in the morning, and I wake up in the morning and said, "Lord, the number one thing I want to do today is glorify you by living in obedience to your word and your will," then you are on the path of righteousness. That's what it looks like. That's what it means. When we strive to live in that manner that glorifies his name, a soldier for Jesus, a soldier for the cause, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why the breastplate? Because it protects and covers all of the vital organs. Righteousness allows us that protection as we step out into a world that righteousness is foreign to. One thing you'll notice in this suit of armor is there is no backplate. There is no place for protection during retreat. But then we see the gospel. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised." We've been given that wonderful, great message. And we need to be proclaiming that message, that good news, that there is a way that this world, the lost in this world, can come to know forgiveness. And it's through Jesus. Man, it's a cause worth fighting for. It's a just cause, and we should defend it at all cost. The work is unfinished, guys. The work is unfinished, and we need to be about the work. There's faith. In Mark chapter 4, verse 40 says, "He has said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have little or no faith? Are you battling in fear? Are you scared to death as you step out?'" Many of Christians today, they feel beaten down in their suffering and their struggles and their fight. And why? Because they need to build up their faith. If you're going to battle and have an enemy that's shooting arrows at you, he says you'll have a shield of faith. See, if I'm stepping into battle in that scenery, if you will, and I'm seeing all sorts of shields and everything like that, and they say, "Okay, here's the deal, guys. He's going to be shooting arrows at you. I'm not going to pick a little bitty shield. I'm going to get me a big shield that I'm going to hide behind. Because I want to make sure that when he's slinging stuff at me, I want something to stand behind." Many times Christians are stepping into battle and they got this little bitty dinky faith. I'm not trying to say that faith is not good, but why not have a large faith, a strong faith, a faith that can conquer anything and defend you against anything? Some of you are walking in situations right now in your life and your faith is being shaken to the roots. And it needs to be strengthened. How do you do that? How do we strengthen our faith? Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's real simple. The more you spend in your time and life in the word of God, this is what happens. What you begin to do is say, well, look at there. God made me a promise. And as you take that promise and you go into life, say, no, wait just a second, God. You said in this situation, I do my thing and you're going to do your thing. I think you're going to be faithful. I'm going to trust in you. And well, you know what we find? God is faithful. And so the next time when we come into that scenario that might be challenged to us, we say, you know what? God was faithful last time. I have no reason to believe that he won't be faithful this time. The more we understand of who he is through his word, the stronger our faith grows. But the problem is this. Many people who say, oh, I believe every word of the Bible. Amen? We believe every word of the Bible. The problem is most people haven't even read the Bible. Not once. Not one time in their life have they read this book. But yet we say, oh, I believe in it. You don't even know what's in there. You must be training to be a politician because that's the way they vote on all sorts of stuff, right? We're going to vote for it. We don't know what's in it, but we're going to vote for it. See, guys, that we need to know the Word. The shield of faith grows when we grow in our knowledge of the Word. There's salvation. Our salvation is our everything. We battle in it. We stand in it. We can face the attacks because what's going to take our life? Nothing that can take away our salvation. Psalm 6:13, verse 3 says, look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or will I sleep in death? My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Man, our salvation is everything. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Man, you're a child of God. You're going to be a child of God until he calls you home and for all of eternity. Nothing can take that away from you. It's not about you being good and keeping the moral code. And all. You didn't get saved by your good works, and you don't stay saved by your good works. It's by his grace. It's by his grace. And then lastly, there's the word. You notice it's the only offensive weapon or piece of this armor, right? The sword of God's word. There's only this thing that we can use. The word of God. It is the powerful word of God that is a sword for us. When Satan was battling with Jesus in the great temptation, what did Jesus use to defend himself? It was the word of God. And guys, I just let you know, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But we need to know it. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus is the Word, and he has given us the Word so that we might be able to stand firm. See, the challenge for us today, guys, is not do we have the things we need to step into battle. We do. The challenge for us is not is the cause battle worthy. It is. The question is, will we battle from his power and his strength as his child? As we step into the battlefield, will we stand firm in the truth of God's word? For too many times, man, we've been hearing what the word says and what the world says and what the enemy says, and we just accept that. And we become defeated and beaten down. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ says today that you can be an overcomer, and you should be. And the key to that is walking daily in submission to his will and his life. William the Conqueror was victorious as he went into a greater battling force because he knew something that his enemy didn't know. He had a weapon that they didn't understand. And because of that, he won one of the most decisive battles in all of human history. Now here's the reality. If you and I are going to step on a spiritual battlefield and we're going against spiritual forces, then I can't do that in the flesh. That means I got to get on my knees and get prayed up, get powered up, get in the Word of God, and let God do my battling for me. I have to do my part. so that God can do His part? Are you battling today? Are you in a spiritual battle? Are you winning? You can be. Don't give up. Battle from the strength and the might of the Lord Jesus. Father, today I thank You. I praise You because of You, we don't face life without hope. Because of You, we don't face these battles on our own with no ability, Lord, to reach beyond where we are. Because of You, we can be overcomers and victorious. And I believe with all my heart today that the freedoms that You gave us on the cross, Lord Jesus, when You stepped through that grave and stepped through that tomb, out of that tomb, Lord, You're showing us, I did not go to the cross. I did not be raised from the grave so that You could live defeated, beaten down lives. I came so that You could have victory and strength and power. And I have all those things available to You. But You must recognize the weakness of Your flesh. Let those things lay and take up the armor, which is God, submitting our lives to Him. Now, Lord, there may be some folks here today that are battling. There's a war that's going on in their home. There may be some folks here, there's a war and a battle that's going on in their heart. There's a sin or something that's destroying who they are. And the message that You have for them today is just simply this. It's time to be victorious. It's time to stop being defeated. But in order for that to happen, You've got to let Me have it all. And You've got to let Me have it forever. And You've got to quit playing these religious games. And You've got to get serious. And You've got to get real. Lord, there may be someone here today that's lost. There may be someone today that You're speaking to their heart about a need for salvation. And right here, right now, they need to be saved. They need to call upon You. They need to trust in You, believe in You, repenting of their sin and turning away from who they were so that they can be a child of God forever and ever. Lord, You know every need of every heart in this room. I simply pray that You meet us where we are, draw us close to Your side, and change us forever. I ask it in Your name. Amen.